everybody. This is Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio. Welcome to another episode of Crosslink Radio. And today I thought I would kind of fill you in on what happened to me the last few days when I decided that I was going to enroll and register for the Berry Health, Berry Science Conference. And I have to tell you, I was a convert for berries before. You may have listened in to a couple of my episodes about berries and berries and health over the last couple of years. And this was the first time I'd ever gotten this deep into berries and their health benefits. There were a number of speakers, many of which I cannot pronounce their name, and almost all of which were so deep into into organic chemistry that I'm pretty sure I don't know what the heck happened during those lectures. But the science of berries has really, really evolved. One of the main features of the conference as a whole was to encourage standardization and to find ways to get the news about cranberries health benefit, or not cranberries, berry health benefits into everybody's brain and get it onto everybody's plate or table. And one of the things that has happened over the last 15 years that this organization has been together is that they have a seat at the table of the government when they set new dietary guidelines. So apparently every 5 years they relook at our food, the food recommendations that come from the government, and that is something that the schools look to for guidance, and then they have to abide by in order to get school fund or funding for lunches. And what has happened, or what the goal is to get berries as a call out under fruits and vegetables. In the fruit and vegetable category, certain vegetables are called out by color, mostly by color, deep colored vegetables, and a couple of other little terms that they're using to call out vegetables. But most fruits, all the fruits are clumped together in a category called fruits, and it's a subcategory of fruits and vegetables. So they would like for berries to be called out as the miraculous little fruits that they are. And so they are working diligently to have that happen. And the more often we talk about berries and the more research is exposed to listeners, to podcasts, and to articles, the better off everybody is. Now, I may sound a little bit funky right now because I'm recording this as I'm driving, because I've already spent 2.5 days with these in-depth researchers, and I'm going on my way now from our field trip to the cranberry marshes in Wisconsin to Paul Bunyan's Lodge in Wisconsin Dells for dinner. And I had to drive because I was in charge of a group call today, and I was the one who owned the phone number, so I had to kind of break away from the group, so I drove my own car so I would have a place to talk and make sure that I had a working cell line, I guess. So anyway, I'm on my way to the dinner right now, and I thought I would take this opportunity while I was driving to fill you in on what I learned about cranberry. Well, cranberry and all the rest of the berries. I'm just inundated with cranberries. I saw so many cranberries today, I can't even tell you. So I wanted to fill, just to kind of tell you about the last few days first, and then talk about the visit to the cranberry marshes here in Wisconsin. So they are in a, on a mission to get berries as a call out to fruit in the government dietary guidelines. And the other thing that they are hoping to accomplish is to encourage standardization. And you've heard me talk about standardization in dental worlds and in dentistry and in dental hygiene without using the phrase or term standardization. Turns out that depending on what lab you use and depending on which test they use, the outcome of the study is determined based on the original product line. So if they're using a product that has high anthocyanins or high proanthocyanins or low or high on this scale and low on that scale, and everybody else is using this scale and nobody's using that scale, and then you decide that you're going to use that scale, if you know what I mean, the outcomes are not going to be as expected. I've mentioned this kind of thing with respect to xylitol chewing gum recommendations from dental healthcare providers, in that if you're asking your patients, if they are asking their patients to use something like Trident with just barely a sprinkling of xylitol in the gum, they're never going to get the outcome that the studies are getting, because the studies were done using 100% sweetened with xylitol chewing gums, and they had no other sweeteners interfering or competing with xylitol. So if you do a study using blackberry anthocyanins and you get them from this company and they used this test, let's call it test K, and all of the other studies that were done on this same anthocyanin are done using study or test, what did I say? I said K. Maybe they're using test W. The two are not interchangeable. So you can't really take those studies together or put them together, and you may not be getting the kind of results that you want to get. Apparently, this happened, or it came and slapped everybody in the face a couple of years ago when the Cochrane Review got together and decided to look at cranberry juice to see if it was really helpful at reducing urinary tract infections, and they found that no, it doesn't, and that it was so diverse and so crazy that their recommendation was to screw doing any more studies using cranberry for urinary tract infections, which of course made everybody's jaw drop, because there are so many studies to show that it does work and that it is helpful. And the way that the Cochrane reviews are done doesn't support good science the way that food scientists are dealing with science, and the same with dentistry. So the Cochrane review was kind of a topic at dinner yesterday, where we talked about standardization of products and how this Cochrane review made it very obvious that the lack of standardization is making it difficult for people to come to the right conclusions, which I have also said, based on all dental studies not being qualified to even enter into the review, which eliminates too many studies, and you can't get a good outcome of the review because so many things are tossed out. So that those are the two main features from this meeting that I took away. So we're going to start finding more studies that are repeatable and more studies that are able to be combined, you know. So if this study said it was 50% reduction in cancer, and this study said it was 48% reduction in cancer, you can put those together and say you can reduce cancer by 50%, as opposed to one being 10% and one being 50%. So that's what's been going on for the last couple of days. I'm sorry I was tied up during the berry and cancer discussion, because there is a research project that is underway right this minute looking at blackberry extract in a hard candy against oral cancer. So I'm hoping that at this dinner I will be able to meet up with that doctor or that researcher. They're all doctors. Who am I kidding? and get the lowdown on how that's supposed to go. If you go back a few episodes from this spring and listen to Dr. Agarwal talk about turmeric and the benefits of turmeric, you will have heard him say, and he will have heard him talk about a new lozenge that they are using for a pain medication that has high levels of turmeric. And because turmeric doesn't dissolve until it gets down into the lower intestine, that the turmeric as a whole molecule is effective against colon cancer, they think, because it touches the cancer cells and does, I don't know what it does once it touches the cancer cell, but they're hoping to have a similar result with the turmeric in these pastels, as it turns out they're called. And so now we have a research project looking at oral cancer and blackberry extract in a candy, in a lozenge. So yahoo for that. Look for these kinds of things. Ask for these kinds of things of your pharmacist. You never know how fancy your pharmacist is and whose ear your pharmacist has. So this information may make it up higher and higher chains, and these requests may help drive the market. So if you are a practitioner, if you're a consumer, either one, start asking for those kinds of things to help you and your loved ones when they're sick. So that was the last couple of days, and there's a new berry, I guess I want to quickly touch on that, that is under scrutiny as well. It is called a chokeberry or a choke pear, and it has another couple of unflattering terms like that because apparently it doesn't taste very good. However, the health benefits and the flavonoids and the cyanins and blah 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 cyanins still haven't ironed that whole proanthocyanin anthocyanin thing out. And how, if they're flavonoids, I'm going to have to sit down and just map that out one day. These phytochemicals, let's say that's a generic term, in this chokeberry, which has a much prettier name that I can't think of right this second. So using this as a dietary supplement may be the answer for this berry. It is very high in the particles that are that we identify as being beneficial for reducing inflammation and breaking down biofilms and stopping bacteria from adhering, all of that kind of stuff. So we're at a crossroads now with this particular berry in that it's proving to be helpful. It doesn't taste very good. So using it as a supplement may be a really big boon to the health supplement industry, which is a whole nother can of worms, am I right? If you saw chokecherry, or chokeberry rather, on the label, well, I guess people are using witch hazel and what is that other thing, that mudwort or something. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. But you can rest assured that it is very high in the antioxidant benefit, as all berries are. And if you use it as a tea or in a syrup or in a drink, you have an opportunity to ingest all of these awesome benefits and get the health benefits that you're looking for and not have to waste the delicious strawberries or blueberries, which are also really healthful, but you can eat them without choking. So anyway, stay tuned for more information about that. The cognition. They were also using blueberries to improve cognition in children with autism and elderly. So there's just no reason for us to be so crazy about long-term care patients and their diet. We have to swap out their diet to be more health promoting. As I was talking to these people, I have kind of a low profile there because I am kind of new to the arena and I just have barely an undergraduate's degree, and all these people have multiple PhDs, and I'm just kind of holding a low profile. But the people I did talk to, you know, all of a sudden I heard myself saying the diets in these care facilities need to change because people have teeth and the diets are still made for people with no teeth. They're still overly processed, they're overly soft, they're overly mashed, they're overly ground, and these people need to chew, and they can chew things like berries. And if you start incorporating berries into their mix, into their desserts, you will cut down on this biofilm that accumulates on the tongue that has been noted to be a risk indicator for pneumonia. So we need to get better diets for these people in long-term care. It's really imperative to have this be fixed before I get into a long-term care facility. I have 5 sons. I only have 2 daughters-in-law and only one little granddaughter. I want this to fix before I have to torture my poor children to change my diapers or whatever. I want this to be helpful for everybody, and why not me too? So today, though, we went to the cranberry marshes, and I've never had a cranberry marsh visit in all the time that I've lived in Wisconsin, which is the number one cranberry area in the world. So that was pretty amazing. So we went to a cranberry facility that had over 700 acres of cranberry. The cranberries are grown in ditches. The ditches are pretty wide. They're, I don't know, you could probably park 3 cars wide and maybe 15 cars long. And they're maybe knee deep in these ditches. And so that's how big this ditch is. And it's just filled with cranberries that live on vines. So the cranberry vine shoots under the ground, and then it has little plants that come off of that cranberry vine. Turns out those cranberry vines can live to be over 100 years old. Typically they live to be about 50 years old, but that is very, it's not overstating to say that they can live to be 100. The farm that we visited was 120 years old, and it's been in the same family for a long time. And some of the vines that were still being harvested from were alive at the time of the first transfer of this farm. So they were very, very old. But they're still producing, so what the heck, right? The reason they're in marshes, they are man-made marshes, is to make it easy to harvest. So the way that they harvest, this is very unique. There's some very unique properties to cranberry in that they float and they bounce. And when you fill that ditch with water, and then you drive a little special machine down into the ditch and jiggle those vines, the cranberries let loose and they float to the top. You put a boom around all those loosed berries and you pull the boom towards you. So think of the rope with the little buoys that are at the swimming pool to mark off where it starts going deeper. But there's like a styrofoam across the whole thing. It's not just a few buffers or what do they call those of styrofoam. And then that's all the berries are floating to the top and they just get all squeezed to a certain part of this ditch. And then they get kind of ramped up into this little conveyor and they get their first cleaning where air jets kind of push off the twigs and the leaves and stuff, and then the berries go onto a separate conveyor belt into a truck. That was interesting enough. The other interesting pieces of this are that they use the water flood for insect control. So in the beginning of the year, once they notice if there are any insects infestating their crop, they figure out what bug it is, figure out how long it takes to drown the bug, and then they flood those ditches and for however long it takes to kill that particular bug. Isn't that awesome? So that's one way to get rid of the pests anyway. They still have other things that they have to deal with, but that flooding thing really helps out. They also use the flooding in the winter. In December in Wisconsin, they will go and flood those ditches again, and they will allow them to freeze solid. And that protects that plant from any harm from winter's harshness. So the cold winds that blow, that dry everything out, just everything that you could possibly imagine from a harsh winter is protecting those cranberries then underneath the ice. I thought that was pretty cool. So we had a really good time looking at how all of this cranberry stuff goes, and then we went and had some lunch, and then we went to a second grower that uses the bouncing activity of berries as a first sort. So there's a sorting machine, sort of. I hate to call it a machine because it all works on gravity. And so if they bounce this, so long as they continue to bounce, they make it to the bottom of this little gadget, and that goes onto a conveyor belt as a good berry. The berries that don't bounce are damaged some way, and they get eliminated then earlier in the sorting process, in the bouncing process, and those berries then get pushed off to the side. The mushed berries or the dented berries or the soft berries get put into a pile wherever they go, and then they are distributed to the field. The way that the last farm was explaining to us is that the berries are spread, the bad berries are spread just over a few acres of land, and then they are just tilled into the land every, 6 months or a year or something like that. So they have a way of recycling and making some really good dirt. So that was pretty cool. Then they, both of the farms do their own packaging, and once they do the sort for the good and the bad, and obviously the twigs and the leaves, then they do a second sort by color, and they remove all the berries that don't have color, that didn't pick up a lot of the red, that maybe they are white, that they that they do, you know, they sort out the colors because they want to have as many bright red berries as possible. And then it'll do, go to a second sorting situation where the berries are rolled over like a screen, and the small berries that can fit through the screen are falling through, and then they are put into another container. And those then are used for juices or cranberry sauce or some other use where you don't need to have this bright, awesome, beautiful red berry. And then they then wash them again, and they put them in bins in the refrigerated section. And then eventually they go through the packaging place where they have another sort for quality and mechanical. And then they have one more sort where a bunch of people sit there and they pick out all of the bad stuff. Then they are put into bags, and then they are screened one last time through a metal detector. So that's how the berries get into the bag, into your table. If they are not packaged for fresh berries, they are hauled over to Ocean Spray, where the largest worldwide receiving plant is for Ocean Spray. Ocean Spray is a cooperative. It is owned by a number of people, a number of companies, and they collaborate and they put all their grown berries together. They bring them through in semi-truck loads. This is the coolest thing ever. They are weighed before and weighed after so that they know how much of the cranberry is in the truck. And then the truck is backed onto this kind of a tipping machine that tips the whole semi so that it can dump all of these berries into a huge vat at the Ocean Spray Center. And that vat then is also filled with water, and then the berries are pushed to from that end to the other end off into wherever they go to become juice and cranberry sauce and whatever else they're doing with cranberries. So that is that was seriously cool. I'm noticing on my shirt, that I'm still smelling some ozone. They use ozonated water to disinfect and clean the berries. So there you go. Hello, ozone. It's everywhere. And thank you for my little GPS here that tells me I have to get off in another 2 miles. So I appreciate you listening here to CrossLink Radio. Check out more episodes as they are going to come up with me talking to some of the scientists about their particular research and their berries and how they're expecting berry health and the health of humans with berries to continue to grow. So this is Shirley Gutkowski. This is CrossLink Radio, where you integrate oral and systemic health and learn about health from the eye teeth on down. And I'm signing off from my car on my way to Paul Bunyan's in... Yes, that's the name of the restaurant. In the Wisconsin Dells, after being outdoors in the cranberry marshes of Wisconsin.
Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Gutkowski, in my guided mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up.